You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In 1948, fiction writer Flannery O'Connor and the poet Robert Lowell met at the Otto Artist Colony in Saratoga Springs, New York, and they began a friendship that would last until O'Connor's death in 1964 when she was just 39 years old. In a novel called Francis and Bernard, Carlene Bauer imagines what it would have been like if they had become more than just friends and had fallen in love. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and we're re-airing a conversation I had in March with Carlene Bauer. I began by asking her, what was O'Connor and Lowell's real-life relationship like?
Well, in the beginning, some have suggested that there might have been an infatuation, a romantic infatuation on her part. But there's no material on, you know, of her confessing that.
Isn't the nature of sexuality still a mystery?
Of hers?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, some people wonder if she might have been a lesbian, but she never acted on it. She never confessed to it. I think she had two female friends who were or might have been, but.
But in the case of Lowell, he seemed to be attracted to women who might be lesbians.
Perhaps Elizabeth Bishop.
Elizabeth Bishop, who was very out lesbian, he confessed that he might love her.
Yes. This moment is one of the things that sent me toward writing this novel, because in the letters, the collected letters between Bishop and Lowell, Words in Air, you see these letters where Lowell writes to her, "You were the one might have been for me." And the next letter from Bishop, complete silence on this matter, and so which is comic and tragic and heartbreaking. So I wanted to imagine what if there wasn't as much silence around that.
And you tell the story through letters,
yes.
Francis and Bernard. Epistolary novels were once rather common. In fact, I think wasn't Pamela considered the first novel in the English language? Richardson's Pamela, an epistolary novel?
Yes, yes. Or Clarissa. I think it might have been Clarissa. Yes.
And then
yes.
Les Liaisons Dangereuses. There's a bunch of other great ones.
Yes.
But we don't see them much anymore.
No.
Is that because people don't write letters anymore?
You know, it might be. It might be also, I don't know if this is the case, but, you know, perhaps. Although I wouldn't say that email means the death of that kind of thing, because for a while I think people were treating email like, you know, the mail. You'd get long letters, and some of us still do get long emails from people.
And you could probably write a novel that was a mix of emails, texts, blogs, and tweets.
Yes. I think in Japan a couple of years ago there was a vogue for novels written entirely in text, and I think there are YA novels probably that are written like this too.
Was there a lot of correspondence between O'Connor and Lowell?
Not that much. In each of their respective collected letters, there are maybe five or so each, which made it easier for me if I wanted to borrow from their lives, but also fill it in with imagination. So.
And how much did you borrow? For example, Flannery O'Connor suffered from lupus, and your character does not.
No, that was something I felt that I could perhaps render a kind of mental confinement. Like, you know, my character Francis is more conservative, comes from a different sort of like working class background, is perhaps more reactionary than Bernard. And so I thought I could get at that, but a disease I wasn't sure that I could render truthfully. So I would say that maybe about 30% is true.
Well, Francis lives in Philadelphia, and Flannery O'Connor lived in Georgia.
Yes.
But they're both Catholics, and Catholicism plays a major role in this. And you did draw heavily, I suspect, on Flannery O'Connor's ideas about Catholicism.
Yes, yes. Also, Lowell's conversion was something I felt. I myself had converted to Catholicism in my late 20s after being raised evangelical. And so it was, even though I am no longer Catholic or believe, it was belief was something that was still lingering for me. And I felt that I wanted to explore what happens when one loses a faith, and their narratives, their real life narratives sort of provided that material for me.
Lowell converted to Catholicism for a time.
Yes.
What did Flannery O'Connor think about that and converts in general?
She, converts in general, I think she wanted as many people to come into the Catholic Church as would, but she was no real evangelist. She could be very strict if she sensed that someone was about to shut the door behind them on the Catholic Church. And between Lowell and O'Connor, when he was lapsed for a while, and then when they met at Yaddo, he sort of came back into the church. That's how he framed it. I came back into the church. And his first manic episode followed on the heels of this, and then after the manic episode, he stopped believing. And so she was disappointed, but her disappointment is not very well explored by her in her letters to him. So.
Well, you haven't given Francis lupus, but you have made Bernard, like Lowell, someone who suffers from serious mental problems.
Yes, yes.
He was also married.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think for some reason I felt perhaps that the manic depression was something maybe I had a little more experience, just having read more about that kind of thing and wanted to, thought I could perhaps imagine that.
Do we know how O'Connor and Lowell actually responded to each other when they met at Yaddo? Did they respect each other as writers?
I think immensely.
Well, was, at that point, she was considered maybe our greatest writer of short stories.
Yes, I think.
And he was a major poet.
Yes. I think that we do know that they respect each other's work. And I think in there's a letter from Lowell to O'Connor writing to her about one of her short stories. It's sort of very loving criticism. There's lots of enthusiasm, but also criticism at the same time. And so I think, but we don't know how they actually were together, I don't think.
Do we know how O'Connor reacted to Lowell's conversion to Catholicism and then his drifting away?
Yes. She was disappointed. I think that might have been the word she used in a letter to someone else. I don't think she ever told him directly how she might have felt about this. I think that might have cooled the friendship, actually.
Well, for you, it allows you to, because you're not really saying Flannery O'Connor and Robert Lowell, it allows you to imagine all sorts of things that might have happened. But also, doing this in letter form allows you to include certain things and to eliminate other things.
That's exactly why I chose that form. I found that, for me, I started to write the novel as a third-person, omniscient, sort of standard narrative, and I felt it wasn't quite coming together. But during this period, I had been reading lots of collections of authors' letters, and I found that that form, even though these were nonfiction, they weren't novels, but to me, they read. You were as captivated as if you were reading. You actually were reading a life play out. And the dramatic potential, like earlier we were talking about, Bishop with that curtain of silence, that to me felt very emotionally powerful, dramatically powerful, and I thought that that gave me the idea to sort of try to generate, see how much drama could be generated from this, supposedly static form.
Well, also people reveal stuff about themselves in letters that they might not reveal in a personal essay or even in a work of fiction.
That's
where
true.
They suspect that others might read things into it.
Exactly. Also, I'm kind of a gossip of a very scrupulous gossip, if that makes any sense. But I was interested in the idea that you would have people sort of telling stories about each other or about their family or the friends that they knew. Sort of you could have gossip, you could have complaint, you could have literary criticism, confession, poetry, all in this one form. It was a very commodious form, it seemed to me.
And at the same time, you don't have to set scenes and you don't have to describe nature. And
that's true.
The room that they're entering at any given
time. Or you could. I mean, I do think lots of authors' letters do have. The powers of description are still on display. So so I thought you could do that if you wanted to, and if you didn't, you didn't have to. So.
But there was a time when people wrote long letters.
Yes.
Do you think there are still people doing that?
Yes.
Would the post office be cutting back on Saturday deliveries if Lowell and Connor were still alive?
They probably aren't. I know I was never a champion letter writer, which is very sad to me that I missed my calling maybe. But I think they must be. I think they must be.
As much as this novel is about faith, love, and friendship, it's also about the time in which the two writers lived and worked. You're young. Did you have to do a lot of research?
I did do some.
You don't have to thank me for being young.
For thinking I'm young. I did do some research on the period. I'd read a lot about the Partisan Review sort of cohort, just in my reading, just the reading for pleasure. I have to also admit, being a Mad Men fan, knowing that they are scrupulously researched sort of gave me a sort of backup if that. Also, my parents and grandparents grew up in this period, and I felt that seeing you know, their lives and photo albums and hearing their stories, like that somehow I carried that in me. And also just that I would say that would have been the research that I did.
Well, for example, when Francis refers to Jack Kerouac and the other beat writers as a troop of malevolent Boy Scouts,
yes,
trying to earn badges for cultural arson.
Yes.
Did you borrow that from Flannery O'Connor?
No.
Something you thought she might have thought.
That was something that I thought a character like that might have thought, given that she was a sort of very starched white sort of personage in a period where things were shifting. And I think I ended the book in the 60s because I couldn't imagine. It's interesting to think of Lowell and O'Connor, like they were not 60s figures at all. And so I was interested in that period before things turned. So
it's interesting to think of O'Connor as somebody who was such a strict Catholic whose writing doesn't necessarily reveal that.
No, she would say that her stories were a form of revelation. She was often upset that people didn't understand that they were religious in nature, that she was trying to get at mysteries of grace or Christian mysteries of grace in her.
When people go on a trip and suddenly are captured by strangers
yes,
and killed? Oh, yeah.
What kind
of grace was involved
there? Or the human potential for sin and then whatever redemption might follow from that. She was very interested, and she was, like I said, she was very angry when people missed this. So.
Well, Sylvia Plath once described Lowell as an important early influence on her work.
Mm, yes.
Do you see people influenced by Flannery O'Connor?
Yes, I would say, I'm thinking off the top of my head, someone like Karen Russell, whose work I've not read a lot of, but the sort of extreme situations or an imagination sort of stretched to the limits. I feel that was her, that's what O'Connor was doing. I'm thinking also of perhaps even someone like Cormac McCarthy, an extremity of vision. I think this is quite American often, and this plays out in so many of her writers that I think that actually she does have quite a bit of influence on people.
Well, you now have written an epistolary novel.
Yes.
Your previous work was a memoir.
Yes.
You're not going to continue writing novels in letter form, are you?
No. No, I think I might have said what I have to say. Although it's quite, I recommend other writers try it because I found it extremely pleasurable, quite fun and freeing. But I think that might be the end of that for me on that.
So. Well, you can't set a novel in the present time, as we suggested earlier, unless you're willing to do much briefer chapters
true.
Or
it's
entries.
True. It's true. Yes.
Because, for example, Henry James, we learn more about him than we ever learn from anything else just through reading his letters.
Right, right. I do wonder what we people who are writing now will leave behind, you know, what will be left. A text, perhaps.
Well, I delete everything.
So. That's also, that's probably wise.
Carlene Bauer, her latest book is a novel called Francis and Bernard. And Packer calls it a marvel. It's a wonderful book, really.
Thank you.
Very much about the writing mind, but
yes,
also about people in a certain time, artists in a certain time. Published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you so much for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Leonard.